Hello. Can you hear me? Give it a couple more minutes here while people are still showing up. So. All right. Well, thank you everybody for coming again to our second town hall. Appreciate your guys' time today and want to go through. I'll just do a little agenda review. For today, we're going to have Dave Gunderson, our mayor. He's going to do a little speaking on kind of where the city's at currently. I'll have Jessica Fisher on as well with the Tri-Valley Health Systems, and we'll have Greg Shepherd as well. We also have Josh Hansen from the Department of Labor to give us a little update of what's going on there, as well as Ashley Gerlach and the Nebraska DED will be having some discussions. And then we'll get an update from Mark Pharmacy on the calling tree conversation we had last week. And then Derek Downer is going to touch just a little bit on the SBA loans that are out there for small businesses. So I do want to update just a little bit. I had a conversation today with Senator Fisher's office. They called me and were asking what the how things were coming and were going along in Cambridge, and I gave them kind of an update of where we sit and what we know and how we're working through some of these things, some of the challenges. They just recommended to continue to follow the CDC guidelines. Wanted to see where, you know, make sure that we were all moving in the right direction and had that all taken as much precautions as we can. And if we had questions on anything from the federal programs, that their office is available for help and questions. So to get started, let's go ahead and start with Mayor Gunderson. And why don't you give us a city update? And then when Jessica gets on, we'll kind of throw her in there and go from there. So go ahead, Dave.
All right, thanks. Had a half hour, 45 minute phone call with Governor some other mayors from some other cities. And a lot of them is revolving around the COVID-19, so I'm sure Jessica would stress, and he stressed to get the days about it, so we've been talking about it since February and really hasn't hit out here yet. The people in Omaha for a while. And so I think they're starting to get lax, but they're having trouble with people not remembering both of them. Lots of people remember to stay the 6 foot apart, but you have to remember that no more than 10 people can be in any place at one time, whether you're 6 foot apart or not. Just because you have a large Quonset, you still have 30 people there and stay 6 foot apart, you have to stay 10. They're starting to see a lot of trouble with that, and they're closing parks over there and basketball courts and stuff. And as the virus moves this way, I'm sure we'll get a directed health measurement, which put a few more restrictions on us. And so we got to be aware of that, and you have to start following them. And the other thing he talked about was the personal protective equipment. The whole state is running short on it, and the state put in a couple of orders, he said, some large orders, and went through the processing, and then the shipment never showed up. And so he thinks it's a higher bidder from another country came in and got them. So we're running short. I talked to some EMTs this morning, and they're borrowing masks. Well, not borrowing. They're getting masks from a new. So it's even hit our own hometown here on personal protective gear. And the other thing is, if you don't follow the guidelines of staying apart, we're going to have too many people. We're going to overflow the hospital with this COVID-19. And then the the stuff that was easily taken care of before, now we don't have the beds or the people to handle it because we're all fighting COVID-19. And so something that should have been easily handled now becomes trouble when it shouldn't have been. So we need to remember the restrictions. And then we talked about some, I think everybody on here, Ashley is on here, some other people, but we did discuss the small business applications for disaster relief for businesses and the care pack and all that stuff. So we are discussing that. So Cambridge and the city is aware we're trying to help the businesses, but I don't think I need to talk on that. I'll wait till Ashley and the other people talk on it. If I have anything to add, I'll jump in then. So I'm going to skip that for now. The other thing that we talked about was there's a couple of questions, and we've called some of our Cambridge customers. Utilities are due, and I know you guys read some Facebook says permit, and so you need to contact the city, make arrangements to pay. We'll work with you, but you can't just treat this as you're going to waive the fee, because in 4 or 5 months when this thing ends, you'll have a giant bill to pay if you don't come contact us. It's just a deferment, not a waiver. And so let's see some other stuff we talked about. Oh, people asked how long he thinks this thing will last. And he never said, people like, well, where do you specifically say it? He doesn't make an announcement. But, you've seen the school where no sports or any athletics or any activities until May 31st. But yet the guidelines for the first time expire April 30th. So you can kind of infer you're not going to let one expire while keeping the school still not be able to meet. So the way he had it was come April 30th, he'll just announce that we'll reevaluate and he'll extend it to match up with what the school says. So just plan on going to the 31st, if not another 6 weeks, which should be the middle of June. And we've had a lot of other communities asked about, well, can I open my swimming pool? Got kids out of school. There are lifeguards. Let's open our pool early. Can we do that if you release the 10-person limit? And he said, I can guarantee you that your pool will not be open by Memorial Day. Till July. And he said they may loosen. So instead of the 10-person limit, it may be loosened to a 20-person limit, but don't plan on just this ending April 30. And I was watching his press conference just now, and three times he said, you need to follow the CDC guidelines, because if you're a senior this year and you missed your graduation in May, and you want to have it in August, you better start on it. And he keeps saying, oh, I think these guidelines are going away anytime soon. And that's all I got.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dave. It's good information to kind of hear what's going on from the governor's office. If we got questions, go ahead and put them in the Zoom chat and we'll come back to them and we'll just keep the agenda moving. So thanks, Dave, for your time.
Yep.
Next up, let's go ahead and get Mr. Shepherd. Go ahead and give us the school update on how well the food program's going and where you're at on timelines. Obviously, there's been the information that's out there regarding, the May 31 timeframes and stuff. So I'll let you kind of jump in on that. So,
all right. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. Yeah. The governor did two nights ago extend that to no school activities, no athletics, and that school buildings would not reopen for the remainder of the school year, and then that would extend to the end of May. And so I think everybody pretty much knows in town that our staff has just been working their tails off the last 2 weeks preparing lessons and learning enrichment opportunities for each and every one of our students. Those were rolled out yesterday, today, and also Monday. And we're really excited about that opportunity due to the circumstances. And like I said, our staff has really been diligent in their work, putting in lots of hours, putting this all together. I think our parents are going to be quite impressed with the product that our staff has put out. And I know some parents were a little impatient, wondering why we were waiting so long. But the reality was we wanted to make sure that we had it well organized and that what we were giving to our kids was of the highest quality possible. So I think they're going to like what they see. And I would also encourage, all of our parents, be involved with your kids. There's some opportunities for conversation through Zoom meetings with our teachers at different times. I would encourage our parents to be involved in that also, not just the students, but parents get involved in your kids' education too, because right now that's where it's at. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to have to count on the parents to do at home with their sons and daughters, especially at the elementary ages. And we want to give them the support, give them the direction, and I think what our teachers have put together will provide that for them. So we're excited about that. We're looking to extend that to approximately 5 weeks worth of instruction. We were within, when this all came about, when we looked at our minutes, and obviously all of that's kind of been tossed to the side, but we were within about 3 weeks of meeting the minimum necessary for a school year. So we feel good about where our kids are at and what we're going to provide for them over the next 5 weeks, which should provide us, you know, the full year of instruction. As I said last week, you know, when we start next year for our students, other than the seniors, you know, there may have to be a little bit of instruction rather than just review from the previous year. But our teachers, we know that they're going to prepare for that and do a great job ready for the kids when the fall does hit. So, and they're already making plans for that. So that's kind of exciting too. As far as the lunch and breakfast program, what a great program. We now are, we're pretty much hovering right around 200 students. Jenny Volberding, our nutrition director of our kitchen, and her staff, that which includes all of our paraprofessionals, they are working extremely hard every day to make sure that those lunches and breakfasts are ready to go for each and every kid. Marissa Burke and Jenny Kubik have been doing a great job, you know, with the information coming in on the computers in regards to who signed up, who's not, making sure that each and every kid does have a meal. And then this week it also included some of their packets of instruction. So they're working hard, they're doing a great job, and we're really trying to focus on that as kind of the school district service right now to the community. And, you know, if there's other areas in which the school district, along with our staff, can be of help, please, for anybody that's watching this, you know, don't hesitate to give me a call. And we're willing to help out, and we're willing to roll up the sleeves wherever we need to for the community. So, you know, the door is open. Give me a call. And most of our information is being posted, as it has been for a while now. Please refer to our website. And, you know, there's a lot of really great information there. And if the packets that you received weren't enough work, there's some other enrichment opportunities there that are free of charge on the internet. You know, take advantage of those. And then the last thing I'd say too, though, is, you know, parents make sure too, one of the things that I'm a little skeptical on this whole thing is we're kind of putting these technology times into the kids' lives along with what they're probably already doing while they've been at home for the last couple of weeks, and make sure they're getting physical activity and make sure that they are, you know, eating the appropriate nutritional foods but make sure they're active. That's the main thing. Sometimes turn those computers off and those electronic devices, and let's have a little physical activity too. So, but appreciate the opportunity to share. And if anybody has any questions going forward, you can ask on here, or just you can also definitely call the school office, and we do have a voicemail system, and we'll get back to you.
Thanks, Greg. We do have one question. Has the confusion created any unexpected problems or unique opportunities for sharing classes, perhaps with other districts? Have you had any of that dialogue at all?
You know, I think right now all the superintendents and principals have all been communicating back and forth. I would say for the most part, most districts are just now rolling their learning enrichment opportunities out. I know it was put out there early on, you know, that districts were already doing it 2-3 weeks ago, and that really wasn't the case. I would say that this next week is when we'll see some organized efforts with some really quality opportunities for kids. So as we go down that path, you know, there's going to be a lot of conversations, a lot of sharing. We've had daily, and I mean 7 days a week, daily sharings and Zoom meetings with the Department of Education, and also with the districts in our conference, the districts within our ESU, along with our ESU director and all the directors located there. And so, you know, there's been a lot of time spent. This has not been 2.5 weeks of just paid leave. Our entire staff has been working hard daily, and putting in lots of time. And, you know, I really applaud our teachers and our paraprofessionals, our all of our hourly people as they're still in the building. I mean, they're here every day. They're helping with the lunch program, but they're also involved with the cleaning and disinfecting of the building. And we obviously 2 weeks ago started our summer cleaning in anticipation that this could happen and not have the kids back in the building. And so we're getting a really huge jump start on those types of things too. And we couldn't do it without all of our employees. And we're glad to be able to keep them employed, keep them working, and keep those paychecks going out to them. So.
Great. Excellent. Any other questions for Mr. Shepherd? Okay. If you do, just go ahead and pop it into the chat and we'll get back to it towards the end of the call. But thanks again, Mr. Shepherd, for all the work you guys are doing and getting that educational items kind of situated for all the students. I know I've seen too many Zoom conversations, not enough Zoom conversations with teachers, and I know that Graham's been begging me for coffee with his teachers, so we just let him go. But next up, if we can get Jessica Fisher, she is on the call now. So why don't you give us a update on the Tri-Valley Health Systems, maybe where we sit today from a week ago, and what we all should be doing from a medical perspective to help curb this and slow the curve. There you are. Can't hear you. We can't hear you. No. Nope. We'll just move on again, and if you can get your audio stuff figured out, Jessica, then we'll bring you back up, okay? All right. Moving on then for right now, then we'll go with Josh Hansen. I appreciate, Josh, you being able to jump on the call, and can you give us a little bit of insight onto what the Department of Labor, what you guys are at in the current status, just maybe some of the things that some of these businesses in the community need to be looking at from a Department of Labor and just understanding that.
Absolutely, Tom. I appreciate it. My name is Josh Hansen. I'm the Regional Workforce Development Manager with the Nebraska Department of Labor. So between our Lexington, North Platte, and McCook office, we cover 19 counties in Mid Plains. Currently, we are still open to the public from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, within the North Platte and Lexington office. Our McCook office hours are still from 9:15 to 3:15 on Mondays only. We have a staff member that travels down there every Monday. We are trying to practice and implementing some social distancing within our local offices, but we are still open to the public for anybody who has any questions or needs to utilize our resource room and computers to file their unemployment claims. You know, right now with COVID-19, we are receiving unprecedented amounts of unemployment claims, as you can imagine, with businesses conducting layoffs or reduction in hours, making individuals eligible for unemployment benefits. Any worker that's in a non-paid status due to COVID-19 may file for a claim for unemployment insurance benefits. The Unemployment Claims Center or website is our anyworks.nebraska.gov. And as I speak here, I'm going to go ahead and put some of this information in the message center as well too, and a lot of the different resources that you as employers can utilize, or your employees if you do have to practice those layoffs or that reduction in force due to COVID-19. So that first one I listed is just our office our direct numbers and our time frames for the North Platte Lexington and McCook office. Like I said, we are still open to the public, but if it's an individual who has access to internet or a computer or can get assistance from a relative or a family friend, then we do advise that they try to go ahead and do it on their own at home. If they're having trouble, they can definitely contact our local offices and we can email them the step-by-step guidance that we've created with pictures and all of the process of what they need to do to file their initial unemployment claim and the steps that they need to take every single week in order to file their weekly certification so that they can get those benefits. So to file their initial claim, an employer or the employee, well, both would have to have be registered on our anyworks.nebraska.gov website. So the employer has to register on there so that when they have an employee that files, they can certify that and verify that they did work for that organization and they are approving for them to file at unemployment at this time due to a layoff. And now it's important for the employer and the employee to remember that if they are laying off due to COVID-19, that they annotate that on the employer's side when they notify unemployment and that the employee notifies that when they're filling out their claim. You know, 2 weeks ago, our IT department just got that question added on to the employment process. So it'll ask them if this layoff is due to COVID-19. If both participants answer that, then when they receive those unemployment insurance benefits, that's coming from the state funding pool rather than the employer's unemployment insurance tax. So it's very important that if you are laying off due to COVID-19, that you both annotate that on there so that it's not coming from your unemployment insurance tax funds. The next thing I'm going to put up here too is some frequently asked questions and step-by-step guidance for unemployment, just in case you do want to go ahead and try it yourself and you wouldn't even have to contact the local offices. But like I said, we're definitely taking calls and providing as much information as we can for individuals. But our DOL.nebraska.gov website has all of the information everyone needs to actually see if they qualify and how to file for unemployment insurance benefits. It also has on there the COVID-19 federal programs that are currently still in the process of being passed down from a federal to state level so that individuals can receive that additional $600 a month for their unemployment claim if they are laid off due to COVID. And you'll notice that I reiterate that a lot. If you guys have been watching any of the Governor Pete Ricketts news conferences, you know, it's very imperative that if you are not laid off from your company and you decide that you're just going to leave due to COVID-19, but your employer is not giving you an official layoff, it's going to be treated as a termination or a quit from unemployment. So if you quit your job, even for the purpose of COVID-19, just because you're not comfortable for going to work or you do have some underlying health issues that makes you high risk, they will be denied that unemployment insurance claim. So it is important that if you have employees as an employer or if you're an employee, that you speak with your employer about alternatives of working from home or possibly utilizing sick or vacation time during this time period instead of quitting your job. That the last thing we want to do is have anybody quit their job and not be eligible for unemployment benefits. Now that goes for that CARES Act as well too, that additional $600 that's coming from the feds. If you quit your job and it's not due to a layoff or reduction in hours from your employer, then you're not gonna be receiving that additional $600 on your unemployment claim as well too, okay? Another number I'm gonna put out. So our local field offices throughout the state of Nebraska, we do not have actual access on unemployment claims. Everything's handled through the call centers in Lincoln. And we did just contract out a second call center, and they're individuals that actually can get in and review your claim. Now, our staff, our local field staff, is very knowledgeable in answering unemployment questions. So if you do have those questions, you can still give us a call, and we can try to answer them to the best of our ability. But we do not actually have access to verify what the status of your claim is. It is important to know that right now it's still taking about 21 days from an initial claim being filed before there's a determination that adjudication is completed. At that time, it can take anywhere from 48 to 72 hours to receive your first paycheck, as long as you're filing your weekly claims until you receive that determination. So that first number is our original call center to unemployment in Lincoln. The second number I'm provided is the newly contracted out one. due to the high call volumes that we are receiving that are assisting in trying to answer questions as quickly as possible so that there is not a long wait time for individuals to get the questions that they need answered. This next stuff I'm going to put on here is just some useful emails that will help out employers and job seeker UI claimants with getting answers a little bit quicker. So if you're an employer and you're having any sort of any works issues and not being able to verify your employees and approve them for unemployment, then you want to go ahead and email the NDOL UI sites@nebraska.gov, and they'll be able to grant you access so that you have that ability to justify the reasoning as to why your employee is filing unemployment from your company. Let me get this other one. And then this as well is another good email for UI or unemployment claimants or employers that just have additional questions to unemployment. And that would be the NDOL.NICHelp@nebraska.gov. Again, if you're having any issues and you have information, if you submitted a claim and need information on their change, then we need to have everyone send that to that email so that an adjudicator can get in contact with them, get in their claim, and make those appropriate corrections so individuals are getting approved and getting paid until they return back to work. Let's see here. Another huge topic that is asked a lot is whether an employee should go the short-time compensation route or the mass filing for unemployment route. And it really just depends on what you're currently operating under due to COVID-19. If you're doing a reduction in hours, you're a company that's just reducing your hours due to COVID-19, then I really would urge you to look into the short-time compensation. Now, that's filed through anyworks.nebraska.gov, just like unemployment is, but it's just a little bit different from unemployment. So the short-time compensation is if you reduced all your employees' hours the same percentage between 10 and 60%, across the board, but you're still allowing them to come into work. And that STC can come in to make up that difference so that they're still receiving full-time wages even though they're working part-time hours. But if you're just completely shutting your doors and doing a layoff, then we really advise you to have every single one of your employees get on, get registered to AnyWorks, and file a claim for unemployment. Be prepared to give them a notification of a return date within at least 112 days for right now. And we'll see what's going to happen, 112 days from now. But if they have that return date, 112 days, and anybody that files unemployment from March 22nd, now extended to August 1st, they are going to be waived of that job search requirement, that waiting week, and that the availability as well, too. So they will not have to be actively searching for work. They won't have to be available for accepting other types of work, and they won't have that waiting week when the adjudicator is coming, so they'll get paid for that week. One other important thing is that if you do a layoff, temporary layoff for your employees and they file unemployment, when you notify them that they are ready to go to full production, back to work full time, that employee must come back to work that full time. If they do not, then that could hinder their unemployment benefits at that time and they would hit a disqualification. So it's just important to communicate that with your employees. I know I've been asked several times of, well, I've had an individual that just left, we're still working full time, and they just filed unemployment. Are they going to get it? I said, it just depends on you as an employer. If you didn't give them that notification and you want them working full time and they decide to leave on at their own will, then no, that would be classified as quitting their position and they're not going to be qualified for the initial unemployment or the additional $600 from the federal stimulus bill as well too. So it's just important to talk with your employees and let them know, keep them updated on your business operations and if you're gonna keep running or what they're gonna do. I mean, there is no backdating as of right now for the initial claim. Once they file that claim, that's when their time period for those benefits are gonna be starting. So if they get laid off tomorrow, but they were reduction hours 2 weeks ago, they're not going to get repaid for those last 2 weeks. It's going to start from when they opened their initial claim on there. And I see I got a question. Does short-time compensation only work with equal reduction of hours for all employees, or are there different reduction of hours for different employees? Yeah, so it has to be across the board. It has to be the same percentage. Now, it does differentiate a little bit when it comes to units. So say you have a production unit and then you have like an office unit. If you're laying off just the production unit, they all have to be equal across the board. If you're laying off just the, say, office personnel, then that has to be the same across the board. So it has to be the exact same percentage of hours for each unit that you're laying off. Does that help answer your question? I'm trying to see if I put the STC one on there. It doesn't look like I did. Let me pull that up real quick and I'll add that to it as well too. Sorry, there's a lot of information here as well, but I can send this out. If you want me to, Tom, all this information in a nice packet, and if you have an email list that you can shoot it out to everyone, I can definitely do that as well too, so that everyone gets it in one source and doesn't have to try to write it down or copy and paste and save it to a Word document as they're on here.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to get it to Melissa. She can get it sent out.
Perfect.
We can get it through the chamber and we can get it around through the list that we have. So,
okay.
Perfect. Right. I mean, there's just a pile of information right now, Josh, in this space. And
there is,
you know, getting everybody informed of what the ability is and just how to handle this stuff, because this is kind of uncharted territory for a lot of people. So.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, the biggest thing is just if you are planning on doing a layoff, is please notify your employees as soon as possible. You know, even if you're just doing a reduction in hours, but you're not doing it across the board, individuals who are affected by the reduced hours, they can still file unemployment as well. So it just depends how much they get for their weekly benefit amount, which is based off the highest quarter earnings divided by 12 and divided by 2 again. Round down to the nearest dollar. So the maximum weekly benefit amount for 2020 is at $440. But they will get, once it comes through, that funding comes from the federal stimulus bill, they will get that additional $600 a week as well too. So if you have just a couple people that you have to reduce hours, they can still file unemployment. They can still make up to 25% of their weekly benefit amount and collect their full amount for that week. Now, if they're making over, say, that $440 that week, then they won't collect that unemployment. So, yeah, they're still qualified to file for unemployment even if they're reduced down to part-time hours. And that's really it. Like I said, just making sure to communicate and they know the resources at anyworks.nebraska.gov and file that initial claim. It takes about 15, 20 minutes to get done. And then every week they just need to continue to file their weekly claim for benefits until the adjudicator reaches a decision. And then after that, keep filing until they return back to work full time.
Okay. Well, thanks. Great information. We'll obviously get that information put into a nice email and document so we can get it shared around. So, Josh, I appreciate your time and thanks for being able to inform the people of Cambridge on that. So.
Thank you.
Next up on our agenda, we got Ashley Gerlach with Nebraska DED to kind of talk through some of the stuff with the small businesses. This may kind of double up with what Derek Downer is going to maybe talk about as well. So, Derek, if you want to put some input in during Ashley's time as well, that would be great. And then once we finish up with Ashley, I think we've got Jessica's technical difficulties figured out, so we'll get her in right behind that. So. Go ahead, Ashley, and we'll
go. Perfect. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, good. Just making sure the volume was up. I've had trouble with that sometimes. So, hello, Zoom world. For those of you who don't know, I do work for the Nebraska Department of Economic Development. I serve 17 counties in southwest Nebraska. Do a lot of work with local economic developments, chambers, our utility partners, and businesses. So I'm not quite sure I've ever been as busy as I have been lately with all five of my kids home. So that's been fun. So first of all, one of the first things that DED did when kind of all of this started was we did start a a list of resources that's available on our website. I know there's a lot of different organizations that are doing that, but if you're interested, you can check that out. I found that it's super helpful. It has Department of Labor information on it, our programs, the Nebraska Business Development Center is a resource. There's just all sorts of information on there. So if you guys are interested, you can go to that. I'll type our website for that is opportunity.nebraska.gov. I'll type it in the comments. You click on the yellow banner that says COVID-19 and it'll you can filter through that if you're interested in trying to find one place where you can filter through some stuff. The other thing in regards to DEB stuff is that we have received guidance on from the federal government on how our community development block grant funds that the state has can be used to assist businesses that have been impacted. You may have heard that phrase used before. There's different programs that DED uses those grant funds for. One was when we did the downtown revitalization project, those were community development block grant dollars. So we also have community development block grant dollars for economic development projects. We still have the same requirements, which can be challenging because it's still federal funds coming down that we normally have, but we've been able to expand it a little bit on what we can use those funds for. So without getting too far into the weeds, and if anybody has questions, email me and we can get into it. But what this could look like is supporting new businesses or business expansions to create jobs, to manufacture medical supplies necessary to respond to infectious disease. We can look at these are usually 0% interest loans, but at this point in time, we're looking at some of that being forgivable, which isn't something we've necessarily done in the past. So it might be something where if you were creating jobs to do this, we could, we typically do 25,000 to 30,000 per job that's created. And then we can, so maybe you have a big project, we can forgive half of that amount or something like that. Another thing that we don't usually use retention as a qualifying part of being able to apply for these funds. But if there's a business that needs to avoid job loss caused by closures related to social distancing, we can provide working capital assistance to small businesses to be able to retain those jobs. So again, there's a lot of guidelines, but that's kind of the gist of that program. So if you are wondering if you can qualify or things like that, reach out and we can kind of talk through that a little bit. And then, and I know Derek will talk a little bit about this too. We at DED, we've gotten a lot of questions on the CARES Act and the SBA programs and things like that. There is the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program that, from what I understand, it's been around, but those are, I don't have the details in front of me, so hopefully Derek can share those. If you want the information on that program and want to know where to go, I'm sure either Derek or someone, I have the website too, I just don't have it in my notes, and that can provide a loan, and then there's a part of it, if you apply for the loan, you can get an emergency $10,000 basically grant that you don't have to pay back. I did earlier, I was on a call and there was a business that had applied for that, and you're supposed to get your money within 3 days. It's been like five and they still don't have it. So I'm sure there's just kinks and things to continue to work out with that. The one that I really like, both for us personally, and that I think anybody should apply for or look into, is the Small Business Paycheck Protection Program. This provides small businesses with funds up to 8 weeks to pay for payroll costs, including benefits, You can also use it to pay the interest on your mortgages, rent, or utilities. If you want more information on that, I have it. It's a really great program. The application, it seems super easy. 4 pages, maybe only 2 that you have to fill out. So I would highly recommend anyone on here that thinks that they, small businesses are with 500 or fewer employees, nonprofits, veterans organizations, self-employed individuals, sole proprietors, independent contractors are all eligible. So I would encourage you to look at that also. And then Melissa had just asked you, like, if I just shared a few like thoughts on how to like help small businesses, and we're constantly sharing information and there's so much information out there. And as I was thinking about this, like, I know it's like, it is scary and it's weird and hard and all of these things. But I also feel like we have a chance to look for opportunity because of the pandemic, and that can be hard, but choosing, we have the choice of fear or to be creative. And I feel like now is the time for us to, like, as a community and as business owners, to try to do that. And so just some examples that I was just kind of thinking of were, maybe you're the small business that's thought about doing e-commerce, but you haven't pulled the trigger yet. You have some time. Is there more people that you can reach? There's some really great opportunities online with Shopify offering free 90-day trials. Or you can set up a store on Square. Believe it or not, the newspaper just did that. And that's something that we thought we needed to do for subscriptions and things like that. So if you need help with that, there are resources out there to help with that technical side of it. But it's really cool to see some of these e-commerce sites offering some 90-day trials so you don't have to pay for it, and you can see if it's going to be a good fit for your business. And I also really feel like it's important to try to stay, like, engaged with your customers and your community, because we all still need that interaction. And I mean, I need it, like, trying to work with the kids and the hubby, like, we need to see other people, and just that's part of our community, and I think that's really important. And so try to do sales, try to do Facebook Lives, in, you know, Instagram, you know, get on Instagram and do a live on Instagram. Don't just post pictures. If you're, you know, a restaurant, maybe you could do like a cooking challenge. Like, TikTok videos are like a cool thing. We joined the hashtag over 30 TikTok club. You know, maybe your business can do some fun things with that to try to engage your audience online, since we're online so much now. Also, like, if you're a fitness person, you know, if there's fitness, you know, wellness coaches, or if you teach anything like that, maybe you could do workout challenges. The Corona 15 has become a thing, kind of like the Freshman 15. So offering, like, streaming, you know, maybe you could think about that. If you can't have people coming into your gym or into your studio, you could offer something like that. Just trying to play off the times that we're in and trying to be creative. I've seen a lot of things about, like, Corona-themed t-shirts, if you sell t-shirts, you know, or toilet paper, you know, just all sorts of fun things to try to be creative and create new streams of revenue, you know, for your business. Again, creating that opportunity out of kind of this chaos that we're in. Dealerships can do virtual test driving, you know, with their customers. Don't just post the photos online, like, actually do virtual tours with your, you know, we all have a cell phone with video, do lives on, you know, Facebook and again on Instagram, some different things like that. And then some things that were kind of circulating around, like, the EV world, I guess, different ideas on how to, this could be local economic development groups, chamber groups, you name it. It's been community foundations that have all kind of put together some ideas that I've seen across the state that we've shared as we continue to share ideas through DED or the NED, our Nebraska Economic Developers Association. helping with marketing grants for businesses, which I think is pretty common. A lot of people are talking about that. That might be something for community leaders to look at. Like I said, it can be any of the groups in the community. There's a lot of talk about helping with gift cards, promoting that. I saw where there's one business or one community that's offering, like, if I were to walk over, you know, maybe to like the grocery store and buy a gift card, a $20 gift card, I only have to pay $15. And then the chamber or that community organization will pick up the tab for the other, you know, $5, just a way to give back. I've also seen another community where they kind of took it to a whole nother level where they were like, if you buy a $20 gift card at like say the grocery store, we'll then match that dollar for dollar. We'll then give $20 to that grocery store. So that was even a step further on some things that we've seen across the state with different groups, not just promoting the gift cards for local businesses, but also being able to find other funds to help, you know, just through this time. And so, and then the other thing, you know, that might be considered, maybe you guys have talked about it a little bit, is we've also seen, we do a lot of business retention and expansion surveys across the state. DED is working on a statewide initiative with some different partners, is for if this group that's together, there's some really great disaster surveys out there. So if you were wanting to send a survey out to your businesses to try to gather that local data on what the needs are, who's cut their hours, who's closed, things like that, instead of just hearing about it or seeing it on Facebook, I can, if you're interested in that, if this group of people is interested in that, I can help provide a resource where you could just basically copy and paste the SurveyMonkey tool that a lot of communities are using to gather that data. I feel like I talked for a long time. Sorry. If you have any questions, you know, let me know. And then I'm sure Derek will get into the weeds more with some of these opportunities for small businesses. So thank you, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Ashley. Let's just slide right in, Derek, and maybe you can kind of touch base on the SBA, kind of give a insight on that and help some of these small businesses along the way here and see what you can do. So go ahead and introduce the SBA stuff.
Yeah. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's been my week is talking about Paycheck Protection Program, the PPP application. It's been a lot of questions and not a lot of answers, and we're still trying to figure a lot of it out. They kicked out the SBA kicked out guidelines last night, so we kind of have a little bit more direction, and we're able to send the applications in on their platform. So I guess to summarize the Paycheck Protection Program, it's allows a business to borrow up to 2.5 months worth of their payroll. And so basically we're looking at the last 12 months worth of payroll that businesses have paid out, and you know, taking that divided by 12 times 2.5, and that's the amount that they qualify for. So we'll submit that application through SBA onto their platform, disperse the funds. So from there, you have 8 weeks with those loan proceeds to pay. The target is paychecks to people. They want to keep people getting paychecks rather than taking the unemployment. But there's also some other uses that qualify. From what I've read, as far as the loan forgiveness comes after the 4 weeks or 8 weeks, is that they're going to focus on the payroll part of it. So if you pay utilities or mortgage interest or rent are some of the qualifying forgivable expenses, I think a business wants to focus mainly on using those loan proceeds for payroll. So the application process, there's an application. If you go to the SBA's website, or I can send that link to Melissa. It's a pretty short application. The backup documentation is a little bit trickier as far as your payroll documentation. We're looking for form 941s. Trying to think what else. W-3s, profit and loss statements, just anything that's going to really help you document what you're paying your people and what you have paid them over the last 12 months. So
Derek,
that's kind of the program. We've had a lot of applications here. From what I've read, like nationwide, it's just crazy the amount of applications that have come through. So
quick question, Derek, I got for you is, so let's just say you're a business and maybe you're a new business in this time frame and you don't have 12 months of 2019 payroll, but you have, a month or two or three. Well, how are they basing that information, or are they even qualified, or are they out?
Yeah, the time frame is, I think if you're in operation before February 15th, so whatever limited payroll information you have prior to that, I suppose you can figure your monthly payroll from there. But, I think if you were a business, not probably very many of them, but if you started after February 15th, probably out of luck for that program. So,
right. Okay. Any questions for Derek? I guess, any of those banks that are SBA lender type banks can assist you along the way if you're a 7A bank. Is that the way I understand that, Derek?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So I think it's a program that has a lot of benefits to it. I think there is a little bit of paperwork, but I think that it's definitely worth reviewing and checking in on, just because we have a lot of small businesses in the community that I think this has some real merit to help people through this tough time. So if I had one recommendation from the day currently, is definitely see your banker on this and see how you can fill out this application to help you along the way. So additionally, I want to make a couple comments on what Ashley had to say. I do like your idea, Ashley, of thinking creatively and not out of fear. I think it is important to see some of these small businesses adapt into the technology space. I've always felt that there's opportunities in this world for our small businesses that are our boutiques and things like that, that this could open some great doors for. So hopefully that we can help guide people through that. We can help assist with that as a community and an economic development group, to kind of get people from here to there. So, overarching this community is survived by a lot of our businesses and a lot of our people. So it's important that we all kind of come together and think about those things. So moving along, I know we'll touch with Jessica now that she has gotten her technical difficulties on taken care of, and then we'll hear what you have to say with Tri-Valley and kind of give us a state of the state. And hopefully we can, keep flattening the curve. So, go ahead, Jessica.
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Awesome. So sorry about that.
Right.
So on behalf of Tri-Valley Health System, wanted to go through a couple updates with everyone. Happy Friday. So to kind of just start, since our last call, many of you guys have seen in the newspaper and the radio, on our Facebook page and on our website, Tri-Valley Health System does have a dedicated walk-in same-day clinic for our sick patients. It's our north entrance, formerly known as the Manor location. One thing that Tri-Valley Health System is really stressing to all patients is to ensure that you're calling first before you come to an appointment. And that number is 308-697-3317. just so our team here at Tri-Valley Health System can assist with triage based upon those symptoms that you're experiencing, and to really assist our patients to which entrance they're going to be accessing, whether it is the sick clinic or it is the well clinic. We've also, again, really emphasized that we're seeing our well patients in the morning, our sick patients in the afternoon at our outreach clinics. They're both in Arapahoe and Indianola. Many of you guys may have also seen, we did launch Tri-Valley Health System, a telehealth program this week on the 1st. So we do have access to all of our Tri-Valley Health System providers via the telehealth platform. This is utilized through our patient portal. This information to either get set up for patient portal, we have it available on our website. We also have it on Facebook, and we have many how-to guides to be able to get patient portals. So we're very glad to be able to offer this service so we can see our patients at the convenience of their own home. One other thing I wanted to mention to the community is Tri-Valley Health System has revamped our current website, trivalleyhealth.com. You'll notice a separate page that's just dedicated to COVID-19. Do encourage many of you guys to go out there and to check the website and the information that's available with all the updates. Another thing, want to just reach out to the community. I'm going to be having a team member here at Tri-Valley Health System reach out to several businesses starting on Monday to see, just to kind of get a contingency plan related to additional supplies. So that would be hand sanitizer, masks, gloves. We just want to be prepared for many of you guys to share anything that we are trying to order is currently on back order. We have no date determined as to when those supplies will get here. So we constantly do monitor our PPE on a daily basis and do keep a very tight control related to the PPE that is used. So any businesses out there that have supplies, would encourage you that we may be reaching out for additional assistance if we do need that. One other thing is we did do a push related to homemade masks. We have several community members that have been making masks and donating those to us. So if you do have an interest, please contact Tri-Valley Health System, as we do want to ensure they do have filters in them. The other thing to share with you guys is anything related to a positive test or any update. I just want to share with everyone that our health department will make these announcements on behalf of the district. So they will do emails, they will do Facebooks, they will do newspapers, they will do radios. So I just wanted to re-emphasize everyone that we work very closely with our health departments, you know, going off of the CDC recommendations. The other thing to re-emphasize to everyone is there is a map, nebraska.maps.arcgis.com, and this allows you to go ahead and see and click on the county. And it has information related to testing positive, confirmed negative cases. So I would encourage each of you guys to access this link that is available to all. So on behalf of Tri-Valley Health System, continue to emphasize the social distancing, continue to emphasize good hand washing. We are hearing from the state and the local health departments that April, you know, it's a big month because we want to continue to reduce, and that was going to be helped by having that social distancing and hand washing. So any questions at this time?
As it pertains to PPE and that stuff, Jessica, how's the status with the hospital? Is there needs? Is there availability? I think we asked that question last week as well. Has there been any conversations that you needed from other people in the community? Just want to ask that question and see where everybody's at on that.
So I think the biggest thing from the community would be if you are an employer that does have PPE related to either N95 masks, surgical masks, gloves, hand sanitizer, if you could really just kind of do an inventory, and if Tri-Valley Health System gets to a point where we are critically low, really knowing which community members that we can reach out to and say, hey, we've reached a critical low. Is there any way that your business could potentially donate that to Tri-Valley Health System? So at this point in time, that I think would be the most helpful. And if businesses are able to collect that information, they could submit that over to info@trivalleyhealth.com. But I do have a team member that is going to be calling each business next week to kind of have that communication as well.
What do you consider critically low? And how soon would that be?
So critically low would be that would be when our healthcare providers would not be able to be appropriately wearing PPE. We do kind of look at the burn rate on a day-to-day basis. A burn rate for those of you is what we go through in a day. Right now we are good for a little while. So we continue to submit our requests to the state with those health departments. As many of you guys are aware, they are trying to get all of the PPE kind of shared amongst all healthcare organizations. One thing that came from the CDC and the health department this week is anybody in long-term care and assisted living facilities, employees were encouraged to continue to be in a mask. So we did implement that here at Tri-Valley Health System based upon the recommendations. So we are going through a few more surgical masks right now because all of our employees at the assisted living do wear a mask all day long while they're providing that care.
And we look at timelines. Is the only vendor that you have the state of Nebraska at this point, or are there other vendors that you are able to pick those up from? And what's the availability in that situation for you guys? You know, obviously, or if you're asking for donations locally, I would assume that the vendors being able to get them here is one issue.
Yep, so that's a great question. So currently we work with the state. We also work with several different purchasing groups that we have. For example, one thing that the state is projecting is with our kits to do testing, that eventually we're going to be running low on those lab supplies. So we are on every potential list. What we're finding out, to even get additional lab supplies, you're looking at back order dates of April 8th to April 20th. We do have, adequate supplies right now, but the concern is how fast we'll go through that. So we continue to work with every vendor potentially possible that we work with. We're also working with the state as well. The other thing recommended on the state call and the CDC is they're looking at the 3D printing. So if there's any community members with 3D printers, the state is supposed to share some information on Monday to what would be considered acceptable and approved. Related to face mask printing on those 3D printers. So things are continuing to come out daily, hourly. Things change very, very quickly.
From Tri-Valley's perspective on a localized basis, available tests, how many tests have you done? And I assume currently, since we haven't heard any, that we haven't had any positives. And so is there any kind of info that you could share with that, you know, under knowing that you can't share all information? So
Tom, I'm not able to answer that question in full, but what I can answer of that question is any testing that has been done will be released from the health department based upon the district.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Any questions for Jessica? I would say that Tri-Valley is probably the most hot topic discussion of where we stand inside of the medical time frame right now, and I think it's important. So as this thing kind of continues to grow, Jessica, one additional question out there is where does Tri-Valley sit with available ventilators and things like that? And is there any discussions around sharing relationships of maybe some locations that are bigger that maybe haven't, that as it cycles? Because I can see a cycle occurring from, you know, larger population areas to the rural areas, and the rural areas are kind of lagging just along the way of the progression of the disease, it looks like to me. But if you have ventilators that open up somewhere else and you could potentially be sharing those amongst other rural hospitals or hospitals that maybe are have available space, as the Tri-Valley's had any discussion, and what's the availability if someone was to get to that critical space?
So that's a great question. Currently, Tri-Valley Health System does have a ventilator. We also are on another list of potentially purchasing another ventilator. As you guys are seeing in the news, they are trying to produce ventilators as quickly as possible. I do participate on a weekly call with surrounding CEOs. So we do actually on that weekly call, we look at what our supply is, what their supply is, in the event that it would get closer to our community. So we would even be able to share one, ventilators, and then two, also supplies based upon what would be in our communities. So I do that with six other CEOs is who participates on that call.
Okay. Excellent. Any other questions that are out there? If we do get other questions, if somebody has one, feel free to get it to Melissa or myself, and we will get it answered from Jessica or whoever one of the speakers was. We can help facilitate that as well. So thanks again, Jessica, for your time, and keep safe in the space that you guys are in. So
thank you, guys.
Let's get an update from Mark McCurdy today on where you're standing with the calling tree. I know that Derek and I did have a conversation earlier this week, and he had reached out a helping hand from his staff. And I just wanted to kind of get an update from you, Mark, on where you sit with the call conversation we had last week.
Sure, appreciate it. And Tom and Melissa, thanks for doing this, by the way. This is tremendous to be able to have this communication. Before I get to that, I do have one announcement. Cheryl and I are going to be closing Shirley K's as of Monday. We usually do a spring cleaning, and so we're going to do that at this time to try and limit the traffic, people getting out and doing things. So as of Monday, Shirley K's will be closed. The pharmacy, we're kind of going against kind of the national trend in the fact that we're going to keep the lobby open. There are a lot of pharmacies around the country that have just locked the doors and do curbside and drive up only or delivery. And we're going to highly emphasize that. We've talked to the hospital about when sick patients are out there, we'll drop what we're doing, drive it out there, or we'll deliver to the house, whatever the case is. So if it's curbside, delivery, mail, whatever we can do to keep you in your home environment, we're going to try and do that as much as possible. We are going to keep the lobby open just for the minor medical things that come in. We're kind of lacking some of the PPE, the mask in particular. Jessica, I'm doing good on the gloves, and we'll probably be in decent shape with the kitchen not using any. So we would have a little surplus here that you could tap into. But we're kind of struggling with the mask. But we're going to do the physical distancing and things like that to do patient care and leave the lobby open. But to get back to your point, we have done quite a bit of research, and we're probably going to pull the trigger on the beginnings of the check-in calls beginning the middle of next week. Unfortunately, I got kind of blindsided with the Zantac recall, so we're hoping to have it all set up for Monday, but it looks like it may be middle of the week. We're going to start with the patients in-house that we've kind of identified through our MedBox system and kind of use that as our test case. And then as we get going, if the demand gets bigger, I've spoken to a few people that have some people that will be eligible to help us out on those calls. So I'll be reaching out to you once we get this established. But it's something that we're hoping to get going to be a service to the residents of the community and make sure it's a wellness check-in to make sure they're doing fine, have everything they need. And so I should have more information if we do this again in a week.
Excellent. Appreciate that update, Mark. I think it's a great thing that you guys are doing for your, you know, just the check-in on those. I think it's important. Goes back to the, you know, we're social distancing does not necessarily have to be complete isolation. And so I commend you guys for doing that and stepping through that. So a couple other things, just a couple questions for everybody, and maybe you can answer, maybe we can, you know, bring up questions here or not, if you have them as we come about this. One of the things that Melissa and I have been talking about from economic development is what else can we be doing, and how do we assist these local businesses and the local residents to help through this? Obviously, our economic development is revolved around our small businesses and that lifeblood and assisting those. as well as, you know, recruitment and things like that. But there are avenues, and I believe that Ashley made some great points, and that we'll be talking about is what kind of marketing assistance can we help out with? What kind of technological assistance can we help out with? But if you guys have anything that that comes to mind, maybe after the call or wherever it may be, please reach out to us, reach out to the chamber, reach out to, you know, Economic Development, Melissa, myself, or any of the board members, because we're really trying to help, you know, move this along and help the community get through these tough times. But with these tough times can establish us for the future as well. And so I think that as we go through this, it takes everybody to they say it takes a village to raise a family, and it takes a family to help a village. So I think we all are a part of this. And once again, I want to thank everybody's time. It's an hour and almost hour and 15 minutes that we've been on this call. It's imperative that we continue to communicate and we continue to have these discussions. And so we will continue through this to have them on a weekly basis. I think we'll go with Friday because I know Derek is, that's his best day for good meetings is Friday afternoons. We used to call it the Friday Afternoon Club, so maybe we'll rename it instead of COVID. We'll take it a little more positive. But I do think it's important. So, you know, all I ask is that we continue to be vigilant in our social distancing, we're thoughtful of others as we move forward. As a community, we will survive. We will get through this. And I think we'll come out stronger as a community. So I look forward to the light at the end of the tunnel, as some would say. I look forward to working through this, all of these things with you guys as a community. And we're here to help. So please feel free to ask questions, communicate, and utilize your technology to not be socially isolated. So that's my parting words from me. So thank you, everybody. And
hey, Tom, what I just want to clarify, when I say Shirley Kays is closing, it's temporary, to look for updates on what's going on. I don't want the rumor going around that we're closing it down for good. I'm sorry if that came across that way.
We as a community will not let that happen, Mark.
That's good, because Cheryl just came in behind me. So.
Well, she was doing her duty of keeping you honest then. So, all right. Well, everybody knows on here, so spread the word that Shirley Kays is not closing for good. They will be open. It's just their spring cleaning. And if anybody hears of any other information that needs to be put out there, check with the chamber as well as Economic Development. We'll help get the word out. So. Once again, thank you. Everybody have a great weekend and look for another scheduled call next week, similar time. So, thank you.